Cannon Fodder is brought to you by Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
Hello and welcome to Cannon Fodder. Today is Wednesday, the 20th of March, 2019. Last night in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, Jackets lost a tough one on the road. 4-2 with an empty netter. They hit three posts and a crossbar. I think all three posts by the middle of the game. No, Brian?
Well, actually, yeah, three posts. Two of them were at the end of the first period, and that right before the goal scored by put Calgary up 2-1.
Anyway, two killer lapses, one late in the first and early in the second. They found themselves down 3-1, and they're scrambling from there. Played pretty well, some of the second period notwithstanding, but couldn't put it home, including a couple power plays where it looked like Bread was forcing his jumper a little bit there from the left dot. In any case, we'll talk about all that and more with Brian Hedger, who's on the phone from Edmonton. And, of course, at the dials, we have Patrick Flaherty. I'm Mike Arace, and we'll first cut away for this message from our favorite petrochemical supplier.
It's Make It Count Rewards from Marathon. Save on gas, airfare, hotels, or support the environment. It's easy to sign up. Text JOIN to 40244 or go to makeitcount.com. Sign up today. Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
And we're back on the American road and the Canadian road, as it were. What's that route that runs between Edmonton and Calgary? Is that Route 2?
I don't know, because I've never driven it yet.
Oh, I've driven it.
I flew to that.
I've driven it.
Yeah, how'd that go for you?
Oh, geez, there's one I'll never forget, Brian. It was, I left Calgary, and just as I hit that highway that runs due south to, I was in Edmonton, due south to Calgary, I pulled over to check on my copy, and the Aurora Borealis was shining in the night sky there. It was, if you've never seen it, it's quite a sight there. The night lights, the northern lights.
Wow.
And I was like, wow, but that's how clear it was. By the time I got to Red Deer, I was in a whiteout situation. I thought I was going to die, and they'd find me by the side of the road in the springtime.
That's exactly why I didn't want to drive, because you just never know. I mean, weather's fine now, but you never know in that drive.
Oh, the high desert plains just east of the Rockies, that stuff can creep up on you in a hurry. I'm telling you, that is, and I'm from New England, that is the worst whiteout I've ever, I mean, I couldn't see a foot in front of the windshield. I guess we should talk some hockey now. So let us begin with the standings. Brian, the Atlantic's locked in, it seems. I would bet on it. Tampa Bay is going to run away with the President's Trophy, 116 points. Boston with 97 points in second place in the Atlantic and 42 regulation and overtime victories. Toronto got a little chance to sneak up on Boston, very minor chance, 91 points, 43 regulation and overtime wins. Then you get to the Metropolitan, where there could still be a bit of a scramble here. Washington sits atop the division with 9 games to play. They have 93 points, 39 row. The Islanders with 9 games to play, 91 points, 38 rows. So 2 points behind Washington. And 2 points behind the Islanders are the Pittsburgh Penguins. They have 8 games to play, so other teams have a game in hand on them, 1 or 2. They have 89 points with 8 games to play, 38 row. And there's the wild card. Right behind Pittsburgh is Carolina in the top wild card spot in the East with 10 games to play. So they've got a couple games in hand, or 1 or 2 on other teams. Most usually 1. Everyone's 9 games to play, including the Jackets. Anyway, Carolina, first wild card with 10 games to play, 87 points, 38 row. The Jackets with 9 games to play, 84 points, 39 row. The way things played out last night, that loss in Calgary at the Saddle Dome hurt them. Because of what was going, and this is how the ride's going to go. Both Carolina and Pittsburgh won last night.
It's a 3-point game. It was one of those 3-point games where both teams get points, and they're both teams that are directly ahead of the Blue Jackets in the standings and in the wild card race, especially, you know, with Carolina getting the second point. And now the only positive, I guess, you could look at on that is say that they didn't gain any row on you. You know, it was a shootout win.
Let me correct myself. Yeah, both teams got points. Carolina beat Pittsburgh in a shootout 3-2. So that was kind of the worst case for that head-to-head if you're a Jackets fan. So Carolina gets the extra point. Pittsburgh picks up a point. And so I say again, third place in the Metropolitan, Pittsburgh with 8 games to play, 89 points. And then Carolina, top wild card at the moment, with 10 games to play, 87 points. The Jackets with 9 games to play, 84 points. So 3 behind Carolina are the Jackets and 5 behind Pittsburgh. So...
Yep. And I think we're getting to a point now where, I mean, it's not necessarily just about, I mean, it is about all the points, and because that's what's going to stack up at the end, right? But at the same time, this team is just not playing well. I mean, they're not getting the results consistently. They feel like they're playing well, like better, you know, since they had after the trade deadline that week and a half. But they, I mean, they feel like they're playing, you know, good hockey, but where are the results? You know, you got to have the results if you're going to play good hockey, because if they don't get hot here pretty soon, I mean, it could come right down to the wire whether they even make it or not.
That's a point well taken, Brian. Carolina, since February 21st, 9-2-1. We saw them here in Columbus. That's a very good team. The Jackets, over the same time frame, since February 2021, 7-6-1. And Montreal, 6-7-0 since February 21st. And the Canadiens sit a point behind the Jackets for the second wild card, 83 points with 9 games to play. They do have 3 fewer regulation and overtime wins, which could be a factor. That's the first tiebreaker. So the Jackets not
they also have a head-to-head yeah. They have a head-to-head game against the Jackets on March 28th in Columbus as well.
Yeah, there's a lot of fun stuff coming up as I started parsing the schedules. The Carolinas are in have played 3 games of a 5-game homestand. They beat Buffalo and Pittsburgh, and they've got 2 more to go in that homestand. The Jackets have just begun. Well, they're 2 games into a road trip, 1 game into a Western swing, which will continue in Edmonton tomorrow night, Thursday, and finish with one of those 10 o'clock Sunday night games in Vancouver on Sunday
yep.
night. So, and you know, the Jackets have, they owe Edmonton a little something after that, that performance in Columbus a couple of weeks ago. But, you know, the Canadians, I don't know, Brian, if they can catch the Jackets. They're not playing sterling hockey right now, nor are the Jackets. But the Canadians, they have their next 2 at home, Islanders and Buffalo. Then they're at Carolina, home against Florida. And then at Columbus, March 28th, at Winnipeg, March 30th. And they finish up home against Tampa Bay, at Washington, and home against Toronto. That'd be a tough road for them. But getting back to the matter at hand, you know, Carolina, I don't know if they're catchable with a 3-point spread right now, the way they're playing. So we're back to what you just mentioned, is that are the Jackets really playing good hockey?
Right. I mean, that's the thing. Like, it doesn't really matter where you finish in the standings if you're not playing good hockey. Like, even if you get into the playoffs and you're not a hot team, I mean, good luck going up against Tampa Bay if you're, you know, kind of bumbling and stumbling. And they're not bumbling and stumbling. I mean, they have played well. I mean, look, if you look at that game last night, they had some defensive breakdowns, and that really sunk them. You know, they scored the first goal. I thought they were good in the first 10 minutes of the game. I thought they were the better team, hands down, the first 10 minutes of the game. They took a 1-0 lead on Werenski's goal. And then it just kind of all goes away from them, right? You know, like they give up the late one, or they give up the one to Gaudreau to tie it, but then the late one kills them. You know, 7 seconds left in the first period, and then you start the second period, and another one's on the board. Now you're down 3-1, and you're chasing the game the rest of the way. I mean, that's the kind of stuff where they ended up chasing the game the rest of the way, and they outplayed the Flames from about the 10-minute mark of the second period all the way to the end of the game. But they hit a bunch of posts, as you mentioned earlier. They missed 19 shots total last night, which is the 3rd most they've missed this entire season. So, like, you know, there's only like 2 or 3 games that they've missed more shots in 1 game this year. So they're missing the net. They're hitting the posts. They're playing good hockey that way, but it's not showing up in results. And they need to start stringing wins together and playing good hockey at the same time. I think that should be their main concern in these last 9 games.
Let's stick with the offense for a second, because we certainly need to talk about the defense. But scoring's been a problem for them. I thought they may have gotten over a hump there when they thumped the Bruins in Columbus last week. And they've certainly generated enough chances. They dominated that third period last night, but they didn't finish. And you had a story that ran in today's paper as a plug for the late game. And that was about a dinner that the top line sat down and shared together on Monday night. And among the stats you cited, and I've kind of beat on in my columns of late, the top line, those guys have driven the team all season, and they've gone into the doldrums since the trade deadline is one measuring point. Since that time, you know, Panarin's got 1 goal and 7 points. Atkinson has 4 goals and 6 points, and Dubois has 0 goals and 1 point. And they're going to need these guys, and they seem to know it, and they did pick it up a little bit last night. I thought Panarin was kind of trying to force things, especially on the power play, but I thought Dubois and Atkinson played very well. Could you talk about what they what did they tell you about their little confab they had Monday night at dinner?
Well, it was mainly just kind of like to get all on the same page. And at one point, Cam Atkinson said that he mentioned that, you know, recent games, because of the frustrations that they've all felt, all three of them are feeling the frustration of not producing at that same level that they had produced all season long. Because of those frustrations, they were starting to even notice, you know, on video when they would watch the video of games that they're playing, you know, bad body language and just stuff like not necessarily pointing fingers, but just, you know, heads cocked to the side. I can't believe I missed that, you know, body slumping. And that's just not them, you know, and I mean, it does nobody any good to pout and be upset if you're not scoring goals. So I think that was one of the things they addressed, and I think they also just wanted to make sure that they were playing good hockey away from the puck. I know it's become cliche, you know, because we hear Torts talk about it, you know, time and time and time again. They drill that home. You got to take care of your own end zone first, and that was the thing that Torts was he noticed most about that line is that when they've been struggling recently, where's the puck? The puck is in the Blue Jackets' end of the rink almost their entire shift. Well, you're not going to score any goals if the puck's in your own end, you know, and you're trying to break out of there and fly the zone and you're not getting passes and you're trying to force the whole offense. You got to take care of your own zone first. Clear that out, you know, make sure you get that puck out of there, and then you get it going north and, you know, see if you can do some damage that way. So, and that's all stuff that they have done before. As a line, they've done that stuff before. They know how to do it. And I agree with you, Mike. I think that last night they looked a lot better. Torts thought they looked a lot better as well. They just didn't put the puck home. But that's no different than the rest of the team. This team has to be, I don't know what it is. I was going to ask either Torts or someone the next time we get to talk to them. They canceled practice today. But this team hit the post. I looked it up today. They have the second most goalpost strikes in the league in 73 games this year. They're up to 53 now. And
that's a skill, man. I mean, try that. It's not easy.
I know. There's only one team in the league that has more, and that's the Vancouver Canucks, who they'll play on Sunday. They had 57. So, I mean, they're going great guns and about ready to catch the Vancouver Canucks, I guess. But, like, you want to start getting some of those posts and ins. You know, if you're going to hit the post, have it bank in as a goal instead of, you know, going out the other way. But, I mean, is that a, you know, focus thing? I mean, it's going kind of like a chicken and the egg thing, right? Because what Torts is going to say and what the coaches are going to say is, well, we want that shot on goal. We don't want it on the post. We want it on goal. Well, okay, that's great. But, like, if you put the puck on goal, maybe now you're shooting it at the goalie rather than trying to pick a spot, trying to pick a corner. You know, so are you trying to score? Are you trying for rebounds? I mean, it's kind of like this, you know, chicken and egg thing, you know, situation that they're in. But they, whatever the answer is, they've got to score more goals in these last nine games before the playoffs start, especially.
And as we said, the top line has powered them offensively this season. And when they're not scoring, and they haven't been scoring of late, again, in the 12 games since the trade deadline, they've combined for 14 points. But compounding the pressure that their lack of scoring, compounding the problem is they're also combined like minus 23 now, somewhere in that range. So if you have a top line like that, that's been so important to the team all season, and they hit a lull in offense, and then at the same time, they're giving up goals. Their line's on the ice when the goals are going in. The problem's compounded. Are the lines set, Brian? It seems to me he settled into them. He said he was going to, last week, he was going to settle on these lines, and he seems to have, although he does keep his Osterizer at hand at all times.
Well, I think this is one of the more frustrating things for Torts right now, is that he wants them to be settled. He wants these to be the lines. He wants these lines to work because, look, we just mentioned it, that top line of Panarin, Dubois, and Atkinson, they've led this team all year in scoring. Now, like, you want to have lines that you know what you're going to get from them, right? And they've been that all year until this recent stretch. So, yeah, he wants them to be the number one line. He wants Duchesne to work with, you know, Dzingel, because they have kind of chemistry from Ottawa, and that that kind of is intermittently showing here and there. I think they've been a lot better since they put Anderson up there with them.
Yes, that line's been good. It just needs to produce.
Oh,
more.
He's been a horse. Yeah. You know, Anderson has been an absolute horse for this team in the last 2-3 weeks. He's been great. And so, like, yeah, they've been pretty good. So I think he wants these lines to work. Because think about it, you only have 9 games left. You start mixing things up and juggling things now. I mean, is there enough time to even really figure out, you know, new lines from this point on? He needs these things to work. He wants them to work, but they're not necessarily working in terms of goals produced.
And what's up with Nick Foligno? He didn't make the trip?
He did not. It's another personal issue. All we were told in Boston is that it does not pertain to Milana, his 5-year-old daughter, who had heart surgery. She has a heart condition that she was born with, and she had heart surgery back in January, as everyone probably remembers, and he missed 4 games back then. But we were told this one does not pertain to her, but it's another personal family type issue from what I can derive. And do you want to ask, when we asked Torts about it, I mean, he immediately said, without saying what it is or anything, just immediately said that family has gone through a ton, you know, just unbelievable amounts of, you know, stress and hard times and stuff that they have to get through. So that didn't make you feel good when you hear that, you know. I mean, he's got 2 other kids, too. He's got 2 sons. It could be anything. I mean, I don't want to speculate on it. I don't know what it is. But I'm assuming that it's obviously not good if it keeps him away from the team for the first 2 games of a really key road trip. This is a guy, he's the captain. I mean, he's the captain for a reason. This guy absolutely lives and breathes Blue Jackets hockey, and he wants to be on this road trip. But, like, so that'll tell you all you need to know right there about the severity of whatever it is. So yeah, he's not here. So that's hurting him. I think it's hurting him because not only just on the ice with him being a nice forechecking, grinding type forward that can make some plays here and there, he's an emotional guy. He's an emotional leader that can kind of keep them steady in the locker room as well. So they always miss him when he's gone, as far as just kind of like the poise and the composure and stuff like that in the locker room. They miss that. And so he's not there. And then last night, here's the other issue that's kind of going through the team. Marcus Nudivaro was a late scratch last night with sickness. I mean, this is the second, third, or fourth guy in the last 3 or 4 weeks that we've heard, you know, is out sick. And I know from being around the room, you hear guys coughing and wheezing and sneezing and stuff like that. I mean, something is going around this team, and it's at the absolute worst possible time of the year. I mean, they could have used Marcus Nudivaro last night. Nothing against Kukan, but what happens is they bring Dean Kukan in. I thought he played okay. Him and McQuaid played together, but the fact that those two played together changed everything, because they had just gotten into, locked into these pairings, you know, where they had Harrington working with McQuaid as the third pairing, and they had Nudivaro working with Savard. And those two bottom two pairings, I thought they had been playing pretty good as of late, and that helped the top pairing of Zach Werenski and Seth Jones to find themselves as well. So they're starting to get some consistency there, and now a guy gets sick and in a key game, he's out, and then they have to change the bottom two pairings up. I think they didn't play poorly last night necessarily, but there were definitely some plays in the slot that were not made that led to goals, and it ended up leading to a loss as well.
And of course, Ryan Murray remains sidelined with an undisclosed upper body injury. He's been out for, how long has he been out for now?
It's been a long time. It's been, since the Tampa Bay game at Nationwide Arena. So that was back in February, I believe. Late February.
And they don't expect him back by, you know, reading the tea leaves.
I don't know. Again, well, right. That's exactly right. You got to read the tea leaves. I mean, they're so secretive about everything. And the only thing I know on that one is it is a physical upper body injury that he is trying to rehab right now. I mean, he's doing work, trying to rehab it, trying to get back. But, I just asked Yarmo as recently as yesterday, you know, just checking in, is there anything different or is it status quo? And the answer came back status quo. So there's no progress that's been made or anything like that, that we know of.
And of course, Murray's absence has put a real dent in the defense. He had a terrific season going, and he was kind of the linchpin. He made the defense work. That's a big piece missing. In any case, what was the reaction coming out of last night's game, Brian? Who did you talk to, and what did they say?
The guys who talked last night after the game were Josh Anderson, Matt Duchesne, and Zach Werenski, and then Torts. It was interesting because there was a lot of edge last night after that game. They were not happy losing that game at all. I think these guys realize time is running out. You know, like, they have to start winning games, not just to make the playoffs, but, like, you got to feel good going into the playoffs, or else, you know, it could be really ugly in the playoffs. So I don't think that they were really unhappy with the fact that they played so well in stretches, you know, to start the game, to end the game. They played really well, didn't score enough goals, and gave up too many goals on mistakes. And they paid for it dearly, and so they were mad about it. There was an edge of not full on anger after the game, but you know, this team, a lot of times you'll lose games in the middle of the season. You talk to them, and then they can keep a kind of like a big picture scope. Well, the big picture right now is kind of done.
Nine games.
It's nine games. This is small picture now, and these guys know that there's only nine games left. They know the games are clicking off the schedule fast, and that things have to start going. So there's a little bit more of an edge to some of the answers. And then Torts, you know, he was really on edge, you know, for the I don't know if you saw the post-game interview or not, but he really kind of went off a little bit on a question that was asked to him about the top line and whether they did really well and stuff like that. And that was right after he was told, or like, you know, his first question was, well, you can't get frustrated by it. You know, you just have to keep going. And then, like, two questions later, he basically blew up, you know? It's like you can tell, I mean, the pressure is on this team from the top to the bottom right now. It's palpable. You can tell. And, you know, they're just going to have to play their way through it.
So here we are, just about 3 weeks remaining in the season, nine games. The Carolina holding the top wild card with 87 points with 10 games to go. Jackets, 84 points with nine games to go. Montreal, just outside the bubble, 83 points with nine games to go. Philly's done. I mean, I think we can say that at this point, 78 points with nine games remaining, 33 regular.
It's Montreal.
Yeah. It seems like this is a two-team race. This could change. I mean, Carolina doesn't have the easiest. No one really has an easy schedule remaining. But wild card, Carolina, Jackets, Montreal. And we'll, you know, right now, Carolina and Jackets have the top two wild card spots. And we'll see how that shakes out in the coming days.
Yep. All right, we're going to cut out here for just a second and hear from our sponsor. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hey, it's in a
Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
So, Brian, yeah. While you got to work, what do you have on tap for us tomorrow?
So, I'm gonna take a look. I'm gonna take a look for the main story for tomorrow about just the lack of offensive production that they've had overall since the trade deadline. You know, they've had a couple games like you mentioned that where they just kind of completely exploded into great offense, seven goals. But you know, the consistency isn't there. They're still averaging, I think, around only like two goals a game since the trade deadline. I have to look all that stuff up. But basically, this was a team that was like averaging three goals a game before the trade deadline, and now it's down to like two or under two goals a game, and that's not going to win you many. And I'm just going to kind of, you know, go through some of the stuff that they said in the post game last night, which is they feel like they're playing good hockey. You got to keep the faith. You got to keep going and keep doing what you're doing. Just having faith, basically, that if you keep playing that way, eventually it's going to, you know, end up being, you know, really good for the offense. But when is that going to happen? There's only nine games left. So that's kind of like the main thing I'm going to be working on today. And then also I am going to head over here in about an hour and a half or so to the arena where the Edmonton Oil Kings will be wrapping up practice. And their leading scorer is Trey Fix-Wolanski, about 5'6" forward, who is a Blue Jackets prospect. They drafted him last year with their last pick in the draft, the seventh round. Because of his height, he's not a big guy as far as height goes. Real strong kid, kind of built like a fire plug. I talked to him up in Traverse City for the prospects tournament. And he's actually a great quote. He's a great kid. He had a huge year for the Oil Kings this year in the Western Hockey League. I mean, he had, like, I think it was 102 points, something like that. I think it was over 50 assists, maybe 50 or 60 assists. He's really been good, and they just signed him last week to his entry-level deal. So I'm going to go catch up with him, see how the season went and that kind of thing, and maybe top a notebook with that, have some other things.
So for all that and more, pick up your edition of the Columbus Dispatch, Ohio's greatest home newspaper. Also, come see us at dispatch.com. At Dispatch Alerts is the Twitter handle. Brian's Twitter handle is at Brian Hedger with a D and a Hedger. I'm at Michael A. Race 1. We have at the Podfather 2 at the controls. And that's about it for this edition of Cannon Fodder. For the aforementioned gentlemen, thanks for joining us. And we'll talk to you next week. Patrick, blow us out of here.
This episode of Cannon Fodder has been brought to you by Marathon, fueling the American spirit. Cannon Fodder is available on iTunes, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher. Cannon Fodder, your Columbus Blue Jackets podcast, is made possible by Marathon, fueling the American spirit.